Please pray with me. Father, you alone can open eyes and hearts and minds. So be in our minds that we will understand, be in our hearts that we will believe, and then be on our lips that we might proclaim your praise all the days of our life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Corinthians, is very clear of what Jesus did after he rose from the dead. He appeared to a lot of people. St. Paul, in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, says that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12 and to 500, to James, and last of all, as one untimely born, St. Paul says, he appeared to me. So 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to all of these people, numbers of people. And the pattern was very similar from time to time. He would show up. They wouldn't recognize him. He would take a piece of food or bread or fish, and he would eat it. And then he would open their eyes so that they would see who he really is and what the scriptures had said about him. In Luke chapter 24, the gospel for today, we have two such appearances of Jesus after he rose from the dead. The first one is in the earlier part of the chapter when Jesus showed up on the road to Emmaus with two disciples, Cleopas and an unnamed disciple, maybe his wife. And he's there and he begins to talk to these dejected disciples of Jesus because they don't know that he's risen from the dead. And they tell him, Jesus tells them about Jesus, and they don't see who he is. And then he says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke." Beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus told them about Jesus. He told them about the Messiah from the scriptures. And as they neared Emmaus, he sat down with them over food, and he broke bread, and he blessed it. And then it says, their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. And then they say, in retrospect, did not our hearts burn within us while he was explaining these things to us on the road? Their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. Today, in the gospel lesson that just immediately follows that story, we have another story, and it's the same story. We see how Jesus shows up to the disciples, and he says, "Peace be with you." He says, "Don't be afraid. Look at my hands and my feet." And then he asks for broiled fish, and they ate together. And then it says, "These are my words that I spoke to you, that everything written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. First, he opened their eyes to see who Jesus is, and then he opens their minds so they can begin to understand the scriptures, all that the scriptures had said about the coming Messiah. In both these stories, Jesus acted on them, and they begin to see, yeah, this is really who he says he is. They begin to see who Jesus is and how the scriptures foretold his coming and how all the Bible, every page of the Bible, points to him and speaks of him and anticipates him. They begin to see it all comes together for them. How great of God to do this for Cephas and for the 500 and for Paul. How great of God to do the same thing in our lives, that he would open the eyes of our hearts so that we would see who Jesus really is. It's an Old Testament story from 2 Kings where Syria was invading Israel, and there wasn't really a king at the time in Israel. So the first person that comes to mind is the prophet Elisha. So Syria begins to take aim on Elisha. This is a sixth chapter of 2 Kings. And so there they are being assaulted by Syria, the Israelites. And the servant of Elisha comes to Elijah one morning and says, "It's over. We're surrounded. They're all around us, and we can't get away. And Elijah says, don't be afraid. There are more of us than there are of them. And then it says, then he prayed, O Lord, open their eyes. And they saw that the mountains were filled with horses and chariots of fire. Their ability to see didn't change the reality. God was there. His army was there. But they didn't see. They were not able to see that God had surrounded them on all the mountains. Their inability to see kept them from realizing the truth. So whether we recognize it or not, or take joy in it or not, doesn't change reality at all. Truth is the truth, is the truth. It's God's promise. Whether or not we see it or believe in it or trust in it. And the same is true of the love of God for his people. The same is true of the love of God for us. And so Paul, when he writes to the church in Ephesus, he says this amazing statement. He says, I have blessed you, he says, you have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's a fact of history. It's what God did for us on the cross. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places because you are in Christ. And then he goes on to enumerate those blessings. He talks about how they've been blessed with salvation, how they've been blessed with a renewed relationship with God. Those who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. They've been blessed with God's forgiveness. And last of all, he says they've been blessed with the Holy Spirit, God living in them and through them. So they've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But what's evident in Ephesus is that they are blessed, but they don't know that they're blessed. They don't see it. They don't have eyes and hearts to receive it. And so Paul goes on to pray, I keep asking. This is his prayer for Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, that the eyes of your hearts will be enlightened so that you will know the hope to which you're called and the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints and the incomparable great power for us who believe. Paul prays that those who are blessed with every spiritual blessing will begin to see how blessed they are in Christ. Jesus' last words were a prayer, the high priestly prayer in chapter 17 of John. And in that high priestly prayer, it begins in this way. It says, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do, Father, now glorify your Son. Jesus had already accomplished everything that he was given to do by coming to the earth. And then the very last words on the cross were these from John's Gospel, it is finished. It is finished. Everything that's needed for our salvation is completed. It's a done deal. Nothing's lacking. Nothing's missing. There's not a part that needs to be added to that. Everything that's needed for us to be reconciled to God is finished. The fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah, it's finished. The sacrificial system that God had set up so many years earlier now is finished when the great high priest is also the sacrifice. And Jesus says it is finished. And all the hopes of all humanity since the fall, since we chose to disobey God, now have been reconciled in Jesus Christ on the cross, and it is finished. It is finished is the promise of Scripture. It's the truth that is true, whether we see it or believe it or not. Whether we believe it or not, or see it or not, doesn't change the fact. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing, and it is finished. Everything that's needed for our full salvation. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he appeared to all of these people for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And he showed them in a similar way. He showed up and he broke bread with them. And in the context of that meal, he opened their eyes and he opened their hearts so that they could see just who Jesus is and what he's done for them. So instead of continually searching for something out there, continually looking for some kind of hope or some kind of peace or some kind of missing piece of Jesus and our experience with him, I think the challenge of this gospel is that we would change the way we look at God. We'd begin to see God from the perspective of he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing by what he has accomplished on the cross for us. Now, what's needed is that we would begin to see it and we would begin to receive it into our minds and into our hearts. What would happen if we made this our prayer? Lord, having finished all that's needed for our salvation, Lord, having blessed us now in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, would you please open the eyes of our hearts to see it and to enter into it and to know it more and more? And their eyes were open, the gospel says, and they recognized Jesus. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Amen.